Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I'm so pleased to have Tonya Kotsos back on the show. Tonya is an author and creator of the website Mind Your Reality. This week, Tonya and I are going to be talking about top-down living, which is the foundation for her new book, The Adventure of I. We have a lot to cover, so I'm going to dive right in. So hi, Tonya. Welcome back to the show. We had, just a really amazing conversation last week, and I'm really excited to continue on that. And I know when we finished talking last week, you mentioned that there was another law, the law of gender, that you hadn't really touched on. So before we get into talking about top-down living, or maybe in conjunction with it, talk a little bit about that law of gender.
Well, thank you, Lynn, for having me on again. I'm glad you asked that question because I was thinking, oh, goodness, we missed out the law of gender, which is really one of the most important laws when it comes to creating your reality. Now, we already know the law of polarity, there are the opposites, and the law of rhythm swings you between the opposites, and for every cause is an effect. But now, what the law of gender tells us is that in everything, throughout creation, you have a masculine and a feminine principle. Mm-hmm. The masculine principle is what directs and is what protects. The feminine principle is what creates and what nurtures. Now, we see that throughout our existence. Yeah. The most basic example being the creation of life between man and woman. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our minds, however, we fail to realize that our minds have masculine principles and feminine principles. And the masculine principles of mind are the ones that are supposed to be directing your mind, and the feminine principles of mind are what are doing all the creating. But we've really not given either side their proper roles.
What would be an example?
Basically, there are a couple of examples of masculine and feminine principles in mind. The number one masculine principle of mind is the will. Is your willpower.
Okay.
And the feminine counterpart of your willpower is your desire or your mental image of your desire.
Mm.
Now, so the feminine is the desire and the mental image. What is created, what is doing all the creating, is the mental image of the desire. It is the feminine principle.
Mm.
Well, most people focus and stop right there at their desire. But in ignorance that something has to direct that desire and keep that mental image in place, they forget about their willpower. So along comes the law of rhythm and swings them between a mental image of their desire and a mental image of their current circumstances, which they're trying to change, and hence we are swinging between attachment and fear or doubt. Now, bring in the masculine principle, which is your willpower. And what does your willpower do? It creates nothing. What it does is direct. It's got directive power over your desire. And as we said in our last chat, the higher your degree of consciousness, the greater the directive power. So willpower is above your mental image of your desire. And what it's intended to do is actually direct it and keep it in place. It doesn't mean to get rid of it or destroy it or overwhelm it. Both are equally necessary for creation. But if you do not use your willpower, which is the masculine principle, to direct and guard your mental image against all those other conflicting mental images, then you won't be creating anything because you'll be left subject to the swing of the pendulum between a myriad mental images in your mind, which then serve really to create nothing of substance or real change in your life in the way that you want to change your life. So your willpower is the masculine principle that is supposed to, with the power of your will, keep it in mind. Overcome the law of rhythm that will swing you. If you know about the law of rhythm, you're aware of it, you do not allow it to take you to the other side. And the only way you can do that is by using the directive power of your will to keep a mental image of your desire in place. And so the mental image of your desire is what is doing all the creating, which is then what is created in your life. And then by virtue of it being feminine, it nurtures your life in accordance with what you want to experience. Mm-hmm. Now, another masculine and feminine duo is your reasoning mind and your emotions. A lot of mainstream books talk about, oh, you must add emotion, add emotion, add emotion. But emotion alone is one of the most overwhelming elements of mind. Very few people can be objective when they are weighed down by emotion. And just that word, weighed down by emotion, excess emotion causes your degree of vibration to weigh down because you can no longer have objectivity over your reactions if you're reacting emotionally. So your emotions are creative because they are the feminine principle. Mm-hmm. But once again, if you're not using your reasoning mind to choose your emotions, you're just swinging between positive and negative emotions, thanks courtesy to the law of rhythm. So basically, once again, your reasoning mind is not there to overwhelm your emotions. It's there to guide and direct your emotions so that you are not overwhelmed by them. If you're not directing and guiding your emotions, they are definitely directing your own life. And so you're the servant rather than the master. And a nice analogy for this is the river and its banks. Now, the river is akin to your emotional world, and the banks are your logic and your reasoning mind. So without the banks, the river would then just flood everything around it and kill everything off.
Right.
No matter how important it is to life, water, when left to flood, will kill everything off. Whereas with the banks, what you do is you guide the river and everything around it is nourished and nurtured by the creation or the creative aspect of that water. But without the banks to guide it, then it can only be destructive. And another thing is, though, is to strike that balance of not having a purely logical reasoning mind such that you deny all emotion, because then you're denying the creative aspect of the masculine feminine principle, and it's akin to really just growing your banks so big that the river then just dries up and it cannot create life in any way. And so that is your other fundamental reasoning mind being the masculine principle, emotions being the feminine principle. Reasoning mind is intended to guide and direct your emotions in accordance to what you want to create. And again, you bring in the masculine principle of the will to enable you to hold in mind only those emotions that you want to then create your life with.
Mm-hmm. So as anything, it is that it's a balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is a balance. And in that balance comes balancing emotions themselves. Many people believe that you have to give something a lot of emotion in order for it to manifest. I know today we're going to talk about top-down living, which one of them is balancing your emotions. And I'll mention it here in the sense of emotion is energy. Let's make emotion energy. Energy that really motivates you and really gives creative power to your mental image is in accordance to the emotion you add to it. Now, if you've got any kind of physical world circuit and you send around energy, if you send out too much energy around the circuit, you're going to get a short circuit, and whatever you were playing with at that moment will be destroyed.
Yes.
In the same way, by sending something far too much emotion, you're then short-circuiting it. And so what you want to do is find the optimal level of emotion, and not just emotion, 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 because too much emotion will short-circuit your creation. You're no longer in control of directing your emotions, and hence they will flood your circuit with excess energy, your circuit of creation, if you want to call it that, which will then prevent it from being created. And the way to gauge, it's such a subjective thing to know if you're in excess emotion. And the way to gauge it is just ask yourself, how am I feeling? If your emotions are weighing you down and controlling your mind, then you know you're giving something excess emotion. If you're giving just enough emotion and just enough importance to give you that motivation to go after what you desire and what you want, then you know you're at optimal emotion. Too much emotion will always weigh you down and cause you to lose objectivity, which then translates into attachment, which then becomes obsession, and we all know what happens after
that.
And that does
feel very heavy when you just, even those two words are very heavy. So balancing the emotions, and you brought in the subject of top-down living, so let's go ahead and get into that. And I know you mentioned that balancing emotions was one of the techniques or one of the ways, but to start off with just giving a real broad, you know, how is top-down living different from how most people are living their lives?
Top-down living is about first identifying yourself with the real you that is within, which is the observer, the I within.
Okay.
The I within is unaffected by your desires. If you, just in a short meditative state, think of all your desires, think of all your perceived weaknesses and your perceived strengths and everything you think that's affected you and every person who's hurt you or every person that's not hurt you. Even think of your feet. Remove your feet from your imagination. The eye that is observing is unaffected. Remove any desire. The eye that is observing is unaffected. Remove any hurt. The eye that is observing is unaffected, and it's that which we want to identify with, that part of us that is unaffected by our desires, knowing that our desires are born out of the personal self and the personality, and they tend to be driven by what I call the counterfeit ego. The counterfeit ego is that part of you that needs to be in control, that needs to have its way. It needs to have its way right now. I don't want to hear anything. I want it right now.
Uh-huh.
That's the counterfeit ego. Now, the I, in fact, I is the real ego with a capital E. And the word ego comes from the Greek word ego, meaning I. And that's why I would never say you can never really be rid of your real ego, because the real ego with a capital E is the I, and you can never be rid of your real self. It's the only part of you that is eternal. It's the only part of you that is unchanging, and hence it's the only part of you that is real. Whereas most books or subjects which suggest removing the ego must refer to the counterfeit ego of the personality. Now, most people are operating at their level of the personality, and even Einstein said that you cannot get rid of a problem at the level at which it was created. So if at the level of the personality you're trying to get rid of the counterfeit ego, which is creating your personality, you're in for a bit of a problem, because you cannot change something at the level at which it was created. And that is why, again, you must rise above the level of the personality, above the emotions, above your thoughts, above even your reasoning mind, to the level of the I, which is undisturbed by them all. And then at this highest degree of consciousness, which is your superconscious mind, you then look downwards, and you can affect and direct change in every level of consciousness which is below your own, which includes everything in your mental plane, and then in turn includes everything in your physical plane.
So most people approaching life, I'm guessing, from the personality ego.
Yeah, most people are caught up in the emotions with little consideration. Now, what we spoke about, willpower, will, the true seat of your will is the I. So your willpower is really fundamentally your freedom of choice. Many people think they're free in choosing their desires. But if you have to have something, you're not free to choose it anymore because you have to have it. So in order to be free to choose what you desire, you must be willing not to have it. Otherwise, you're not free. You're not choosing. Your desire is doing the choosing. So, and in the same way, you have to be free, for instance, to walk away from a relationship if you want the freedom to stay in it. If you're not free to walk away because you're so attached to your partner, and oh my goodness gracious me, I'm going to die without you, then you're no longer free. You're a prisoner, and you've created this prison, and you've deluded yourself in believing that you're free. But you're not, because you have to have it. And if you have to have something, then you don't have the freedom of choice not to have it. So only by rising above the level of the emotion and the level of that desire, and then can you freely choose your desire. You can. There's a huge difference in choosing your desire for the sake of the experience of the desire than having to have something. Because when you choose your desire, you get, then you're free to focus on it, but you're also free to set it aside if it doesn't serve you. You don't have to have it. You cannot be attached to to an outcome if you're free to choose it and if you're free not to choose it at the same time. You cannot be attached. As long as though you're stuck in the level of a personality of desire alone, mm-hmm. you cannot but become attached sooner or later. Mm-hmm. And you cannot but then, according to the law of rhythm, swing to the opposite end of doubting and fearing that it will never come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Only when you rise above that level of emotion and that level of passion and that level of desire, can you then start using your willpower to choose what you want to experience for the sake of the experience, not because it's going to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you give something the power to make you happy, you've given it the power to make you sad.
Right. Really.
We have to be independently happy just for the sheer joy of living. And when we realize that we have this incredible God-given gift within us to freely choose our experiences, then we can then freely choose our desires, because I'm sure that most people truly desire something because they believe they can't really have it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they really knew they could have anything, about 90% of the desire list would fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about learning to see your desires from a place which is not attached to them, not attached to having them, not attached to not having them. And I like to say, what a difference indifference makes.
Yeah.
And it's not indifference in the sense that I do not care,
right.
but it's knowing that it makes no difference to the real you that is the observer and experiencing your reality.
Mm-hmm.
The personal self is still experiencing it, but the real you remains undisturbed. And if you can raise your level of awareness, and there is a number of exercises
mm-hmm.
in the book that I'm bringing out, as well as meditations, which mm-hmm. Allow you for that feeling of really meeting the real self, then and only then can you start directing your life in a top-down fashion, in the order of then decreasing rates of vibration,
mm-hmm.
with the physical world being at the very bottom, and right below your real self is mm-hmm. your more universal thoughts. Then you get your logic and your reasoning, then you get your emotions and your passions mm-hmm. and your desires, and then you get the physical world. So that is what real top-down living is.
Mm-hmm. I can see this is a whole different shift from how people normally think. And so you mentioned that in your book you have a couple of techniques or things. So give me an example. How can someone begin to apply this top-down living rather than bottom-up living?
The techniques I mentioned are more to really get a sense of your real self. And one of the great techniques is what I mentioned before, just to, in a meditative state, imagine, think of your desires, think of your passions, think of your weaknesses and your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Set one aside, and you'll realize that the more you set them aside, that part of you that is observing and is doing the thinking becomes even stronger, but it always remains undisturbed. And when it's essentially clearing your slate completely.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can do that in a meditative state and realize the strength of the I, you will never say, I am this or I am that. You'll just say, I am. And by saying, I am, you can then create whatever you desire through the power of your will, rather than defining the I with the I am this and the I am that. Now, top-down living is from this level of the I. Now, the voice of the I, if you will, is your intuition. So it's once you've quietened your mind and you've silenced all the excess emotion within you and those passions and your desires, at that level of the I, you've opened yourself up much more to hearing your intuition. The reason being is that you've actually increased your own degree of vibration to its level, so it becomes far more accessible to you. Now, once you start to listen to your intuition, and it's that inner voice that gently whispers everything will be okay, or gives you or nudges you in
mm-hmm.
some direction, as opposed to the chatterbox taunting, you're such an idiot, counterfeit ego that just sits there and taunts you all day. And the reason it's taunting you all day is because it thrives on power, and it believes that power is limited. Not only does it take power away from everyone else, it looks to take power away from you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the counterfeit ego.
Mm-hmm.
But at the level of the real self and the real ego with a capital E, you can then, because you've raised your degree of consciousness, become far more attuned to hearing your intuition. Once you hear your intuition and you live at the level of knowing within your heart, which is very different to a desire, knowing within your heart comes with no attachment, comes with no logical explanation, needs nothing to back it up. It's just an inner knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you can then start using Mm-hmm. What is below your intuition, which is your reasoning mind. Now, reasoning mind allows you to think and see things objectively, mm-hmm. rather than being caught up in the emotion of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And with your reasoning mind, you, being the masculine principle, as we mentioned earlier, can then look beneath it. There's your emotional world. You can start directing your emotions and choosing your emotions with your reasoning mind. Emotional outbursts mm-hmm. tend to be subconscious in nature. You never think about it before you have an emotional outburst. Think about it very logically. Look at it, you know, from a different perspective. Look at it objectively and then have an emotional
right.
outburst. Very few people do that, if anyone. So emotional, and usually they're acting if they do, but emotional outbursts are from a subconscious level in accordance with your programs and your beliefs, etc., etc. So your reasoning mind then allows you to really take advantage of that very, very, very small space between a stimulus and your emotional reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a space,
yeah.
but when we're operating at the level of emotions alone, then that space, I don't know, becomes infinitesimally mm-hmm. small, and we can never take advantage of it. Whereas if you're above it, you can actually see the space.
Mm-hmm.
You can just relax and calm down and then choose the way you react emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And now once you have your emotions in check, in accordance with what I call intuitive reasoning,
mm-hmm.
in order to bring in the intuition and not just make it cold, pure logic,
mm-hmm.
intuitive reasoning, and you marry those two and then direct your emotions with that, and free yourself from all that excess emotion,
mm-hmm.
you are then free of attachment and fear, and then you can look what is beneath emotions and degree of vibration, and that is your desires.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start choosing your desires with reason, from the level of the eye that's unaffected,
right.
using intuition, using your reason, using optimal emotion at a state of balance. You can then freely choose your desires for the sake of the experience, not because they'll complete you, not because they'll make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
You're equally willing to lose as you're equally willing to win. You set out to win, of course you do,
mm-hmm.
but you enjoy the game for the sake of playing it. And rather than being caught up in the counterfeit ego, if I don't get my way, really, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've then chosen your desires, what's beneath your desires, even denser than your desires, are your passions.
Mm-hmm.
And passion is really one of it's strange how so many books and people talk about passion, and you must have passion.
Right.
But passion comes from the Greek word meaning pain.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's why, if you remember the movie, The Passion of Christ.
Yes.
It's pain. That's what passion comes from. Whatever you're overly passionate about has the capacity to cause you pain because you're so attached to it. And it's overwhelming you. It's weighing you down. Now, it's not to have passion. It's about having – passion is about how much importance you give to something.
Mm.
If you give too much importance to something, you're giving it too much passion. And the more importance you give it, the more importance, or the greater its ability to determine the quality of your own life and your own happiness and your own joy and your own freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be compared to, say, a steam engine train, where the coals, or the fire rather, the temperature of the fire can be akin to your passion.
Mm-hmm.
If your fire is at optimal levels, your steam engine train will take you to your destination.
Mm-hmm.
If you put too much fire,
yeah.
once again, mm-hmm. what's going to happen is there's no way for that excess fire to be used in powering your engine. And so what happens is your boiler bursts because mm-hmm. it melts everything around it,
yeah.
throws water all over your fire, and there's your little engine, steam engine, dead in its tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, if you give too much importance to something, you're over sending it too much energy, and again, keeping it dead in its tracks. What you have to do is give something optimal emotion without giving anything so much importance that it is defining who you are and how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. And it's such a subjective way of seeing life, because what I give too much importance to, of course, will be different to what you give too much importance
mm-hmm.
to. And what too much importance means to each one of us is also very different, because you might give much more importance to something, but it won't weigh you down as much as I do. So it's really, once again, just asking yourself, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Are you directing or is something else directing you? Because if you're not directing your passions, if you're not directing your emotions, they are definitely directing you.
Mm-hmm.
So simple as that.
And that's a great distinction. It isn't about not having emotions, and you said it's not about not having passion and all of those things, but it's about directing them from that top level instead of being directed from the bottom level.
Absolutely, and that again is the law of gender. It's giving the masculine principles of the reasoning mind, the masculine principle of the will, its rightful role to direct.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not giving them that role, then the feminine principles of passion and emotion and your mental image and your desire are fundamental to creating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are letting them overwhelm your masculine principles, then what is being created is not being determined by you as much as it is being determined by the swing of the pendulum between 150 desires, too much passion, which means too much attachment, too much obsession, nothing happens, and you're not really allowing for the creative principles of mind, which are the feminine principles, to do their creative work.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're giving them so much power and denying your masculine principles their power. And if you don't have the masculine principle in the equation, as it is with life, you're not going to get creation. It will be overwhelmed to the point that it will just be, it won't be created. Let's put it that way. Especially if you're living so much at the level of emotion and you're not directing your emotions and you're not directing your passions, then the law of rhythm comes into play. So many people think, oh, I can be passionate and keep my mind on what I want, or I can be overly emotional and keep my mind objective.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the law of rhythm, and you haven't risen above it, you're going to be flung around from one day feeling, oh, I am the most powerful person in the world, I can create anything I want, to, oh, universe, why me? Why me? Why nothing?
Yeah.
Why nothing? And you just get flung around between these two sides over and over again. And in my opinion, it's far more preferable to be ignorant of this knowledge than to use it in the wrong state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's far more preferable to be ignorant of electricity than to use it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
It can be far more destructive. So this knowledge comes with great power, and the greater the power of anything, then the greater is its opposite, if used in the wrong way or falls in the wrong hands, which is the destructive power as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's really important for listeners and people that are on this path to really take the time to become completely educated about all of the different layers. I know you and I were talking about this. There's a lot of people that really try to oversimplify this, and as you're saying and identifying, that is actually more dangerous than not knowing anything. So,
yeah, absolutely, because the irony is, of course, that most people who are attracted to reality creation are those people who don't have what they want in their lives and are so obsessed with having it that they're looking for any way to get it.
Think,
oh, great, this is my solution. And the counterfeit ego puts another book under its, you know, under its arm and just trots off thinking, okay, how am I going to manipulate the physical world to get what I want? Failing to realize that creation is a fundamental process which works the same way across nature. There's a masculine principle, there's a feminine principle. The masculine directs, the feminine creates. You need both. We are so focused on just the feminine principles, being your desires, your mental image, your emotions, etc., etc. They're given all the power with no consideration for the masculine principles, such that if you're not directing your will, then someone with a higher will power than your own is directing it, even your desires. And what happens is that you live in an excessively emotional world, which translates into an excessively roller coaster kind of emotional experience of life. And because you're being flung from one side to the other unconsciously, no matter how much you're trying, you wonder why you can never really create anything. And the only reason is that you've never risen above that level.
And that's where your book, The Adventure of I, really is different than other books.
I like to think it's different in that sense because I've been caught up in the level of emotion and I've been caught up in the level of passions and attachment and fear to such a degree that I realized after a while that actually I prefer not to know this stuff because this stuff is really irritating me now. I'm supposed to be getting what I want. You know, why am I not getting what I want? You know, but that was my drive to go deeper because it was fundamentally obvious to me that something was missing in this knowledge. So I went much deeper and looked at all books written pre-1920 when New Thought really came to the front again, as well as the what was written, because I'm Greek, largely by Greek philosophers. And it's amazing if you just read Pythagoras and his metaphysical teachings. It's all there, all the laws, they're all there. Yeah. Hermetic philosophy is over 2,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been there. But our problem is that we've taken one tiny bit of the puzzle.
Yes.
And are just shoving it everywhere to see where it fits.
Yeah, that's been my sense, which is why I was really looking forward to having you on my show and share this more complete picture of the universal principles and how they all fit together. So, listeners, I encourage you to read Tanya's book, The Adventure of I, and familiarize yourself with the concept of top-down living. I for sure will be checking it out. You can access it through her website, which is mind-your-reality.com. So that's mindyourreality.com with hyphens in between the words. And Tanya, that wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for joining me the past couple of weeks to share with listeners your expansive views on the subject of creating reality.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you very much for having me on.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.